My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Final hour of Willard and Dibs. It's Dan Dibley, FP Santangelo, Mark Randy with you in for Mark Willard, who's off for the week enjoying some time out in Hawaii. Hope he's doing well out there. He'll be back next week here on Willard and Dibs, as always. Trade deadline has come and gone. The deadline was 2 hours ago at 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. The Giants made a few moves. One last night, Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to Atlanta. You get back a right-handed hitting infielder who's currently in high A, 21 years old, and an injured left-handed relief pitcher, Tyler Matzek, who you might see pitch for the Giants later on this season. You don't quite know there. More so a salary dump than anything else, and as Farhan laid out earlier today, quote, that move was to create opportunities for the young guys. Similar story for Alex Cobb, who was shipped off to the Cleveland Guardians. The Giants had six starters, if you include Hayden Birdsong. You trade one away who hadn't pitched for you yet, who's been working his way back really all season long, is now on the precipice of returning, but you feel good about Hayden Birdsong. You give him a concrete spot in your rotation for the final 2 months of the season, and you move Alex Cobb to a place where he has a chance to compete in the postseason. And then the only real addition that you made, because the return for Alex Cobb, more young minor leaguers that maybe have an impact on your franchise in a couple of years, you do add a veteran right-handed hitter, Mark Canna, Bay Area native, began his career with the Oakland A's, has kind of bounced around a bit since then, most recently with the Detroit Tigers. But that's the moves for the Giants at the deadline. The assumption is that Marco Luciano will be the semi-regular DH, and Hayden Birdsong is now going to slide into the fifth spot in your rotation. Again, as Farhan said, you're creating opportunities for the young guys. And now, guys, I mean, the season is dependent, of course, on how the rotation pitches and how well Snell throws and Robbie Ray and Logan Webb and Kyle Harrison and Hayden Birdsong. But offensively, so much of this is going to be on the continuation good play of your young guys. You hope Elliot Ramos continues to play as an all-star. You hope that Tyler Fitzgerald, you hope that he hits 8 home runs every 10 games, but you hope that he at least stays productive and plays a good shortstop. Whether or not it's Wisely playing second base or maybe Casey Schmidt mixed in along here, and then you hope Marco Luciano shows what he's been doing with the bat in AAA for quite a while now. And if all those things work out together, this could be a move that's a couple of moves that's looked on in a positive light, because not only did you save some money, but you gave these opportunities for the youngsters. And if it works out, you're going to look like a genius. But if some of these youngsters struggle, it's going to be tough for this organization to get past that. But it's a risk. You hope it pays off. And if it does, it's going to pay some dividends for a while to come, because you have these guys under team control for years into the future.
And you look at where they are, and Farhan even made reference to the Fangraphs playoff possibility odds. They're at 17% right now. So you have a 17% chance, as it sits, according to Fangraphs, to make the playoffs. So if that is the calculus involved, were there moves out there that could have made that 17% immediately 40%, 45%? I don't know if there were players available out there that would have gotten you to the point where all of a sudden you're going to be ready to roll, and now you get a 50-50 shot to make the playoffs. So if the moves you made didn't change your Fangraphs odds at all, either positively or negatively, and I think you could argue that the team might have gotten a little bit worse. It depends on Luciano and if Canna can contribute and whatever, but 17%, your rotation's getting better, and you're giving young people opportunities, and you add to that the financial flexibility that you started to attain for next year. I understand why they made these moves, and you know, they maybe aren't good enough moves to save Farhan's job. That's to be determined.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm dumb if I sit here and tell you I know exactly what's going to happen. I don't. I mean, yeah, we get paid for an opinion, but I don't know if these moves or non-moves are going to work out. I don't even know if they know at this point. What they do know is they're going younger. They're giving guys opportunity, and we'll see how this whole thing plays out. I understand why Giants fans are frustrated. 10, 12, and 14, we won World Series, and that's the standard, and you want your fans to want that. You want your fan base to want to be great. I love that. I would never want Giants fans to go like, oh, 500 is a good year for us. Like, screw that. Parades are a good year for us. And that's the bar that's been set here. And so when you're not seeing that and you're seeing somebody new do things different than what you're used to, like, we're all Brian Sabian guys. We're all Ned Coletti guys. Like, those are the guys that got us parades. And so we see that, but the game is evolving so much. Like, did I like the way Gabe Kapler managed? No. Didn't mean Gabe was a bad guy. It didn't mean he was awful. I couldn't, as a Giants fan or a former player, wrap my head around the fact that I was in the starting lineup and I get two at-bats and I get pinch hit for in the fourth inning. Or I'm a pitcher and I'm a starter one day, I'm a closer the next day, and I'm a bulk innings guy the next day. And when you talk to some of the players, you were hearing, like, I don't know what my role is. And so in that regard, they were uncomfortable. As fans, we were uncomfortable because we couldn't wrap our arms around anybody. Like, if I drive 2 hours to see a Giants game and my favorite player gets pinch hit for in the fifth inning, like, how am I supposed to fall in love with that guy? Baseball's a romantic sport. It's the greatest sport that's ever been invented. And we as fans, like, when I was a kid, Grandy, when you were a kid and Dibs was a kid, we love to fall in love with players. That's my guy. Robbie Thompson's my guy. Jose Uribe's my guy. Will Clark, I'm hitting like him in wiffle ball every day. I go watch Dwayne Kuiper play second base. That's my guy. I'm going to emulate him. What happened is they played 9 innings a game. They got 5 at-bats, and you were given the opportunity to fall in or out of love with them. Johnny LeMaster, we booed Johnny LeMaster. But we had that opportunity, and when you had that platoon system set up, how am I going to fall in love with a dude that plays some days, doesn't play some days, gets him pitch hit for some days, is a starting pitcher, is a closer, is an opener? So the math and the matchups, it's hard to fall in love with. Now at least you have which is not getting any play. Nobody talks about it. You have a manager that's playing his players. Elliot Ramos started however many games in a row, 35-something games before he got a day off. Like, he's playing.
I think it was like 48, actually.
Yeah. I think I'm selling him short. Matt Chapman's playing. Pat Bailey's playing. Like, guys are playing the whole, Conforto's playing the whole game, and he's hitting off lefties late, and you're up there going, well, should we be hitting? No, he's hitting .318 against lefties. So, like, now, it's all they got to do is win. Now we have a chance to watch our guys play. Now if we add some pieces at the end of the year that are a little more sexy, now we fall in love with these guys. So they're trending in the right direction. All the math that happened over the last 3 years, I don't think that's something you solve in what is it, 4 months of a 6-month season. Like, that's going to take a minute to get the trust of the fan base back, to help us all fall in love with this team again, wrap our arms around this team. But I always say baseball's like pizza. I like it anyway, whether it's frozen crap pizza at 2 a.m. or whether it's, I don't know, whatever sponsor we have that's the best pizza that I should probably say right now.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's a good effort.
You know, I'm a Giants fan. I've been a Giants fan a lot longer than I've been a player or a broadcaster. And I grew up watching this team, and I grew up watching crappy teams, but I still fell in love with players. So I don't need a parade every year to be satisfied with a baseball season. I just want to watch some guys play the game the right way. I want to, if I go to a game, I want to see guys give an effort and run every ball out, and they have been this year where they haven't in the past. They're busting it down the line every single time. And I just want to see an exciting brand of baseball. And I think this year, more so than years in the past, even though they were 12 games over at this point last year, 12 games over 500, which we failed to recognize, and they're, what are they, 2 games under right now?
Yeah, then they faded.
And then they faded, so maybe this year is going to go different. Maybe they don't fade and they take off and go the other way. I guess this long-winded point is like, I think there's an opportunity for things to change right now, and they are heading in the direction, the right direction. But it's like a big ocean liner, a big ship. It's not just going to whip a U-ey and we're all going to be happy overnight.
No, but I do think
it's going to take a while to turn this thing around.
Yeah, and I like the soliloquy there. It was beautiful.
Thanks.
It moved me.
Thanks.
And
I'm drinking coffee. I'm awake.
You know, finally, thanks. One thing that you did, touch on, and it had me thinking about your point and taking it even a little bit further, because this year, and this is why maybe I'm more in on Farhan Zaidi than other people, and I'm more in on Farhan than I probably thought I was going to be, and it's because of what you talked about, being able to tune into a Giants game and know, for the most part, with amount of certainty that you knew who was going to be in the lineup. Chapman's played 105 games at third base. Doesn't matter if it's a lefty, a righty, a Virgo, a Taurus.
Ooh.
He's your third baseman.
How do they get along?
They don't, actually. Married to a Virgo. I'm a Leo, so things can get a little spicy.
Ooh, that's not bad.
It's not terrible, but, and I love her. She's beautiful.
She listens.
She's my
right
wife.
Now?
Nah, probably not. Yeah. It's a little late for her. We're getting close to dinner time.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go off.
No, and you met my wife. She's a lovely
she's awesome
woman. We met her at the Warrior
You're
game.
You're way over your skis. You outkicked the coverage.
Big time. Way outkicked the coverage.
Outkicked the coverage.
The greater point is what you were saying about being a fan. You want to be able to think about the game and know 7 or 8 of the regulars who are going to be in there. And this year you've been able to do that for the most part. And, you know, you've had parts change and you've had injuries and all the rest of it. But unlike previous years where, you know, it's been a lot of moving roster pieces. And I think it was 2022 when they used 94 different players at the major league level. And that's hard to fall in love with a team.
And they went 500.
Yeah.
You can fall in love with 94 players.
It
just makes
it
super slutty.
Right. Wow, well played. And it also makes it so you're constantly checking the transaction wire, because it's always somebody's up and somebody's down. And, oh, another trade with Seattle for cash or a player to be named later. It feels like this year they were a little bit more definitive, and maybe it's the Bo Mel influence, and maybe it's just the fact that they finally have more players that they feel like they can rely on. But even though this team has not been record-wise as good as last year, it's felt a little bit, I don't know, for me, easier to watch because there's more regular players on this team.
You know, the biggest thing I heard today, the very biggest thing that
from
we kind of snuck in there from Farhan, thanks, was that Bo Mel had the keys.
I noticed that as well.
Okay, so to my point about things changing.
This was about the acquisition of Marcana. Farhan said, quote, Bob Melvin grabbed the keys to the car and got another one of his guys back.
Okay, well, that means Bob Melvin has a say in things. So there's a lot of the old regime left over right now. And the new regime's here. And Bob Melvin and Pat Burrell and Brian Price. And you just name the whole coaching staff. You know, Matt Williams, Mark Hallberg, Ryan Christensen. And then there's other parts that are still lingering. So you just don't come in and like clean house and say, hey, I'm the manager, I'm running things. But the fact that his influence is there and that he had something to do with this represents kind of a small shift for me. Not a complete changing of the guard, but the fact that Bob Melvin grabbed the keys or whatever the analogy was on this trade and had really big influence on this tells me that Farhan isn't running things way up here and then letting his coaches know that everybody's in on it and that Bob Melvin has an influence. And if Buster Posey has a big influence, which I hope he does and I've heard he does, and Bob Melvin has an influence, now things are trending. The ship is turning. It's not going to be a quick, like, you know, what do you call it when they do the circles thing? In the intersection and they're burning all their tires?
Sideshow.
Sideshow. It's not going to be a sideshow. It's just going to be a big ocean liner turning around. And in my experiences, this is how it starts. Just little things like this. To me, the biggest thing that Farhan said is that Bob Melvin, this was his idea.
And that's great and all, and fan of change, especially when it hasn't been working. And while this, you know, Bob Melvin and the coaching staff, they are new, it's not as if this is the first season, second season, third season for Farhan. I mean, he's been here for a while now. And I think that's where some of the frustration for Giants fans, and I can speak for myself personally, that's where it comes out. It's this the end of the old regime, the end of Sabian and Bochy and company. That's a long time ago now. And now there's some new faces in the organization now underneath Farhan with the coaching staff, but still being led by a regime that's been around for a while. And it almost feels like there's been net neutral from when he took over to where he is now. You've made one postseason, and it was a crazy year where you won 107 games. But besides that, you've just been mediocre almost every single season, especially the last three seasons. And maybe they turn it around, and they are great in the final 2 months of this season. And we look back on this moment as the turning point, and I very much hope that is the case. But where I think my frustration comes from isn't necessarily just this season. It's that when I envision Farhan taking over and I looked ahead to 2024, I thought they would be a lot further along than we currently are right now. And that's where all my frustration is. They've just been mediocre for too long, and I'm sick of
that. And net neutral record wise, I think is fair, but I would look at what has happened with the farm system. And like right now on the farm, they are not a top five farm or a top 10 farm, but a lot of the guys who are now with the Giants came up underneath Farhan Zaidi. Now, he didn't draft them all, but they were developed, and now you have the promise of these young players has kind of always been lingering, and it's been hovering over the team, and now you have them here. You've got 6 to 8, maybe even more, young, homegrown players who are major league players. Now, is it good enough to beat the Dodgers or the Padres or, heck, even the Diamondbacks? Maybe not this year, but it at least feels like he took over a farm system that was in some state of shambles, and he's done a pretty good job of drafting and also developing to where, like you mentioned before, first guy since Chili Davis to be a homegrown outfielder, to be an all-star. That's
before
not
before my
nothing.
Lifetime.
Correct. And Chili was when I was a kid. And, you know, you look at all the things that he's done. They haven't been overwhelming smash successes. He's done some things right. This was the year where he spent big, and you hoped, okay, this great rotation, and Blake Snell, Cy Young winner, and when Robbie Ray comes back and all the rest of it, and it hasn't materialized yet. There still is some time for it to turn around, but you know, I do think that if you look at it from a net neutral standpoint, it's a little unfair because where this team was in 2018 when Farhan took over, the farm system was not great, and you had an aging roster, and it took time to slowly offload those pieces and start to turn the thing around. And do we mention...
Dude, your resume is wins and losses, dude.
It is.
Bottom line. This is big boy baseball, man.
Mark's right about playoff appearances. If you don't make it this year, you're one for six.
He knows more than some dork on the radio like myself knows that if they don't win, his job's in jeopardy. And Grandy, in your defense, and I've been riding you a little bit today on the air, all my fans are just like you. So maybe I'm talking to my friends, but they are all really disgruntled. Like, I have friends that won't watch right now. I have friends that I offer free tickets to, and they won't go right now.
That is disgruntled.
No, that is. And it's still a blast on the corner of 3rd and King. I went Sunday with my son. We do father-son Sundays. We go to games together. We had a blast on Sunday. And it was a fun game to watch. Casey Schmidt go deep. They sweep the Rockies. There was some drama. Like, it's still a good product, but we have high expectations and high standards. And I'm in agreement with a lot of what my friends say, and I just shake my head and I say, I feel you, dude. I understand what you're saying. I get it. I've been gone for 10 years. I've been back for 3 now, and I missed out on a lot of things that you guys witness on an everyday basis. So my knowledge of what has transpired over the years here is probably a little less intense than you guys who have been here the whole time when I was focused on a team back east. But I grew up a Giants fan. So when my family tells me things and my friends tell me things and they won't watch and they won't go, like that, that's disheartening to me because, you know, I've been a Giants fan since the 70s. And so when my friends and my family are just like, oh man, this is hard to watch. Oh man. It was more last year than this year, but there's still a lot of residual this year. Like that hurts because we want to all just be head over heels with these guys in the orange or black. I was saying to my son, I want the corner of third and King to be the place to be again. Where like it's the hardest ticket in town to get. And every time you look down low, there's some celebrity there. There's somebody with like four hot chicks on his shirt. Like, and there's a rock star here and an actor there. And it's just the place to be again. Like, you got Giants tickets? No way. How'd you get Giants tickets? Like, that's what I want. And how do you do that? It's not marketing. It's not giveaways. It's simple as winning. Just win. And so whatever you got to do to win and put that product out there, whether it's Farhan or a man from Mars, I really don't care. But I just want somebody that's going to get the best players out there, get the best out of the best players, and that we all fall in love with these guys, and the corner of third and King is a place to be again. I mean, it's not the place not to be right now. There's great crowds. Like, you go there, there's a lot of electricity.
Yes, but if you compare it to other Bay Area attractions and entities, for a while there, 10, 12, and 14, it was the number one. And, you know, we talk a lot about your entertainment dollars. Right now, if you've got $1,000 in your entertainment budget, are you thinking about a Niner game, a Warrior game, or a Giants game? And I know that the costs are not equal, but if you're allocating your money right now, the Niners and the Warriors are more attractive properties than the Giants. And you're right. If the Giants win and you get into September and you're the third wild card and you got playoff baseball down at third and King,
let's go.
Well, then it vaults up the list, certainly. And, you know, it used to be where even temporarily 10, 12, and 14 coming off of 2010, attendance soared because you're the defending champs, and now everybody knows what you have, and it's Timmy and Kaner and Mad Bum and the rest of the guys, and it became a real attraction because they were winning, but also because there were a lot of homegrown players and players you knew. So that's what they're trying to build now, is having this young core of players that people are starting to get to know. But that doesn't matter if you go 78 and 84, right?
Do you remember the reason I brought up the guy with the hot chick? Do you remember that guy? There was like a big dude that sat like those seats right behind home plate, like the low seats down there. And he used to roll in with like three or four, and they were all dressed to the nines.
I don't remember that.
In 2010. He looked like casting straight out of Sopranos. And he would go to every single game, and we would all go like, who's with him tonight? Like, what's he rolling in with tonight?
The only guy I recognize sometimes sitting behind home plate is Marlins man. The guy who always rocks
that
with
guy's
the orange,
so tired,
the
dude.
Orange Marlins jersey and the orange Marlins visor. It's the only guy I recognize sometimes behind home plate.
Remember the guy from our era, and this is way before you were born.
I know where you're going. Can I finish,
please?
The guy with the afro, the rainbow afro.
Rainbow afro. In the 70s, there was a guy who had a gigantic afro, and it was like rainbow painted, and he was like Marlins man.
John 3:16. Did he have the John 3:16?
That was the other guy. Yeah, or he was the same.
It's like, oh, John had a good year. He had 3:16.
Yeah. Anyway, just
show up behind home plate at
he
Candlestick
would just show
or what?
Up at any game, like. Like all of a sudden, you know, rainbow hair guy would be there and it'd be like, he was ubiquitous, which means he's iconic and everywhere.
Thank you.
Ubiquitous. Did we talk about the compensation for Mark Canha yet?
Because I mentioned it.
Eric Silva.
Yeah.
Double A pitcher.
21 years old.
Exactly. Out of a fourth round pick in the 2021 draft. So a Farhan pick. He's given up on Eric Silva for a Mark Canha rental.
Yeah, reliever, 28 appearances this year, 4.35 ERA. So probably similar to the prospect you got back from both Atlanta and from Cleveland in those two trades where you sent away Jorge Soler, Luke Jackson, and Alex Cobb. You also traded Mike Bauman. We barely even knew you. You got cash considerations back from the Angels for that. Those are the moves for the Giants, in addition to, as Dibs mentioned, bringing in Mark Canha. What do you think of the moves, Giants fans? 888-957-9570. Are you happy the youngsters are getting more consistent chances, or they should be getting more consistent chances now? Do you buy that the Giants are doing that while also firmly believing they're going to be fighting for a postseason berth? Let's find out what you guys think. 888-957-9570. Up next is Mike in San Francisco. Mike, appreciate you hanging out on hold. How you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Well, you know, trying to make sense of this trade deadline. What do you think of it, Mike?
Yeah. Well, I'm fine with the moves for the most part, and I'm fine with playing the young guys. I think, though, I'd like to look at the Soler move in a little bit in context. As Dib said, you know, Farhan admitted he made a mistake in the signing, and it's not good to throw good money after bad. Totally agree with that, but I think taking a step back further, we have to look at that. Unfortunately, in my view, that the bad free agent signing is the rule rather than the exception. And not to be seeming like a negative guy, as you guys keep talking about, which, by the way, Grandy, you're totally right. These guys are totally wrong. But putting that aside for a minute, let me throw out some facts.
Last year,
the big...
Maybe work on the delivery a little.
No, I loved it, Mike. I loved it, Mike. Keep it up. Keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Let's look at the last year, four free agents, Manaea, Stripling, Conforto, and Haniger. Can you tell me, the only positive there is Haniger was part of the Ray move. Three of the four guys are gone, and Conforto, I wish they would have moved because I kind of feel like he doesn't bring much, especially for what he's being paid. Now let's look at this year. Chapman, Soler, Murphy, Lee, and Snell. Lee will give a pass because of the injury, but and I know there's a lot of excitement around him, but it looks like maybe a little overpay. But let's keep an open mind on that one. Chapman, great defense, mediocre hitting, maybe a C+, B-. Soler, we've already talked about, total miss. Murphy, before he got hurt, was horrible. And with Snell, in the last few games, we see positive. And it's almost like playing perfectly for the Giants, the way things are going. He's going to end the year well, and then he's going to opt out. And with all due respect, guys, he's not sticking with the Giants. Here's what I'll tell you why. The last two games, he pitched brilliantly, didn't get a win because they don't score enough runs, and they didn't hold the lead. And I know analytically, wins and losses are not important, but when you're a pitcher, I bet it still is important, and that's got to be frustrating. So the other thing I'd like to point out, and I'm a Giants fan. I hope they do well. I do think the bullpen, even with the starters, the only guy that can go deep into games regularly is Webb. The other four guys are all five, maybe six-inning guys. Ray's coming back from Tommy John. He's not going to be pitching 7-8-inning games. Snell never pitches more than 5 or 6 innings, even when things are going well. And the other two guys are at their innings total that they've had their whole career. It's not realistic to expect them going deep into games. So even if they pitch well, which I hope they do, there's still going to be a big reliance on the bullpen, which is stretched thin. And then the last thing I'd like to say is, as a fan, I agree it's great that we've got more regular players, although I think we're doing more platooning than you guys have sort of indicated. I think there's...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Still kind of a boring team to watch. They're last in steals. They're at the bottom in home runs. And, you know, when we look at, I was not a Kapler fan. I'm fine with the move to get rid of him. And everyone loves Bomel. But the truth is, they're not much more interesting to watch on the field, and they're not better. So what's the common denominator in all that? In my view, it's Farhan. And to say the ship is slowly turning, it's 6 years, man. 6 years.
Yeah, there was a lot to improve on. And thank you for the phone call, Mike. That was three last things as he hit us with the the last thing. Mike,
I gave him a long leash because he was complimentary to me.
And of course, and I do think that he was making a lot of great points. And ultimately, if they don't make the playoffs, Farhan Zaidi will probably be the one who pays the ultimate price, even though he's not the guy taking at-bats. I do think Mike was a little harsh with the assessment of a lot of the free agents. And, you know, last year, I think it was a mismanagement of Sean Manaea. You jacked him around and you had him starting and then you didn't have him starting. And last year, I think the team in general was not managed correctly. And as far as pitching deep into games, how many total complete games do you guys think that there have been in Major League Baseball this year?
Four. I was going to say like 10.
21 is the answer. 21 complete games across every single game that's been played. Two pitchers have two complete games, and then you've got 17 guys with one. So pitching deep into games now is a misnomer.
But the Giants, I mean, among starting pitchers have the fewest innings pitched in all of baseball.
Right, and I think, though, part of that, and again, I'm not going to sit here and defend Farhan and company, but they used multiple openers because they had injured starters. You didn't have Blake Snell for basically 2 months, and you didn't have a fifth starter anyway. You were waiting on Cobb, and you were waiting on Ray, so they used a lot of openers. And then you add to that mix, Keaton Wynn had three or four really, really bad starts. And I love Keaton Wynn, but he was
dinged up a little bit, though.
He was dinged up.
And now he's done for the year.
He was out in the second inning a bunch of times, and so you had to go to the pen there. I do think that your rotation, and you have, you know, Jordan Hicks, who's being converted. Mike is right. Hicks and Harrison both up against their limit. So that might have to change next year. But I think that's partly why you needed so many bullpen innings. Plus, your starters weren't very good for the majority of the year. And yet, here you are, only four games out.
I do think Mike brings up a good point, and it's something I wanted to make sure to touch on before we got out of here
today.
It's because
Mike was loving on you. That's
why. I mean,
why. That
is part of it. I appreciate it. Mike, call again tomorrow, 888-957-9570. I'll always take your call.
You guys go just like wallow in pity after the show together.
Go home, turn the Giants game on, and hope they kick the A's ass.
Throw your remote
controls.
Come
on, I'm a Giants fan.
Throw your remote controls at each other.
Just because I have high standards does not mean that I am eager to be upset by this team. I just want them to be better.
You're good.
But you look at some of what Farhan has done, and obviously there's so many honestly, very impressive moves on the margins. Finding Mike Yastrzemski, who nobody wanted, that's very impressive. Same thing with Tyro Estrada. Lamont Wade Jr. they got for, I think, Sean Anderson from the Minnesota Twins. Like, there's so many examples of those sorts of moves. But you look at some of the bigger moves and how they have, the Giants have bounced back from them. It's Farhan Zaidi making a move like he did last night, trading away Jorge Soler 4 months into a 3-year deal that he signed. So many of these Farhan moves that we talk about as a quality move. You know, this is a player who, for whatever reason, isn't playing the way you wanted him to perform. He's either struggling or he doesn't want to hit cleanup in the middle of the order or whatever the case is. He found someone to take the money. Great. As you guys are both saying, just because you're paying him and you haven't been happy, no reason to keep paying him. Find someone else to pay him. But to Mike's point, so many of Farhan's better moves, the quality moves, getting off of some bad money is because he just simply signed the wrong guys or signed guys that didn't fit. I mean, it was Jorge Soler, 3 years, $42 million. You traded him after 4 months. Mitch Haniger, 3 years, $43.5 million. You traded him after 1 year. Ross Stripling, two years.
But he turned into Robbie Ray, as Mike pointed out.
Good move. I mean, fine. After,
so that's a good out. It's like when you hit your golf shot in a bunker and then you come out of the bunker and you hit it to 7 feet. It's like, that's a good out.
Eventually,
and a 7-footer throw. Was 97.
Yeah. Eventually, I would like to, you know, not go into the bunker in the first place.
Yes.
But he's gone into the bunker a number of times. Ross Stripling, 2 years, $25 million. After 1 year, you traded him to Oakland and you had to attach money to the deal because he was so dang bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many examples of those kinds of things where he's gone out and signed someone in free agency and very quickly you realize, this was a mistake. And in order to capitalize on that mistake, you cross your fingers and hope there's someone else who's willing to pay the money that you suddenly are no longer willing to.
I'm looking at an article, and I was mentioning this before, FP. Sports Illustrated did the 70 Farhan Zaidi trades ranked. And this is from last year, and I think between then and now, he's probably made 70 more trades. So maybe there's a new article comes out.
140?
The 140 trades ranked. But there are some amazing deals. Now, free agency, to Grandy's point, Mark and Mike, it sounds like an ESPN show, but you're both right. Free agency has not done as well. Trades is where he's really made his most headway. And, you know, trades getting Ray Black, and you trade Franklin Van Gerp for Alex Dickerson. And you mentioned
name some names, though, dude.
Franklin Van Gerp.
This article is hilarious. They traded Darren Ruff for JD Davis, Thomas Zupacki, Carson Seymour, and Nick Zwack. You remember that trade?
Yeah.
That's a win for Farhan.
I mean, I remember J.D. Davis.
Of course, but you can go through all his trades. Most of them are micro deals like today. Free agency's been an area where he hasn't done it. And I do think that Jung-Hoo Lee, when he eventually plays and is healthy.
It's a shame he got hurt.
And I think that you're going to look at that deal. Mike thinks it's an overpay. I think by the time you get to the end of that deal and he's making about $20 million a year, that's going to be a bargain if he plays as well as it looks like he might.
Dude, there's more to a trade in picking up a player than the spreadsheet. There's more to signing a free agent than the computer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just...
But hasn't it felt like it's been the spreadsheet and the computer that has directed many of these moves over the last 5 years?
That's my point. Yeah.
Which I think is where this frustration comes from. There's no... It's not human. There's no emotion involved. And sometimes, you know, it's better to maybe not be emotional about things.
When Sabes called my parents, everybody gather around the campfire. It's time for FP stories. When Sabes called my parents in the winter of 1999, I came home and my mom and dad said, Brian Sabian called the house from the San Francisco Giants. Who is that? I'm like, that's the GM of the Giants.
It's kind of a big deal.
Like,
Where were you at the time?
I was out working out.
No, were you a free agent?
I was a free agent.
Coming off of the Expos?
Thanks for the reset. I was coming off the Expos, two knee surgeries, double scopes, couldn't even walk barely, and they released me. And I'm not, what's my baseball future? I just had double knee surgeries. Brian Sabian calls the house in, like, I don't know, December, and says that they're interested. And I went nuts. I grew up a Giants fan. Brian Sabian called the house. He had a way and a special way about him where you just felt like this almost presidential leadership back when that was a thing. Like he had this aura about him. You see a little shot I just took right there? He had this little aura about him where he it was almost like you felt like it was an honor and a privilege to play for him. let alone the San Francisco Giants. And he had this confidence and this swagger about him where you were just like, oh my, a little bit intimidating. I'm not going to lie. You know, I came from Montreal where the general managers were kind of goofy over there. And it wasn't like this presence, this kind of mafia presence that this guy had when he walked into a room. And so I talked to him on the phone and he didn't say this outright, but it was more like it's an honor and a privilege. The vibe was it's an honor and a privilege and you'd be lucky to play for the San Francisco Giants. In the way he worded things to where you were just like taken in and hypnotized. And I didn't care what he offered me. I didn't care what the money. I wanted to play for the Giants because of him. And then I heard good things about Dusty Baker. And I grew up a Giants fan. And I started out in April hitting 190. And he walked up to me in the clubhouse and he put his finger in my chest and he says, "We don't make mistakes." And he turned around and walked out. And I was like, meaning like, we don't make mistakes on the people we sign. We do our homework. But I think the game has evolved differently than 20-something years ago, 25 years ago, where it's more about launch angle, exit velocity, projections with computer formulas versus the person inside the uniform. Sabes knew that I played hard. Sabes knew that I was going to play hard for him if I was healthy. He knew that I used to kill the Giants, and he just liked the way I went about it. He did his due diligence. He knew I was a good clubhouse guy, and he knew I'd be a good fit with this team. So it was more about the person than the player. Now, it's not a popularity contest like we've talked about, and you can't go in for the Giants and hit like 180 and be like, well, he's a good dude.
Or in your case, 130.
But he knew
you started out 3 for 23.
Yeah, and then Barry Bonds took me in the cage and taught me how to hit.
I'm trying to like put some context to the story. He was 3 for 23.
I was hitting 313 in August.
We're not even August yet. April 29th and April 30th, you had a couple of knocks in each of those days. You turned that year right around, FP.
Well, Barry Bonds took me in the cage and goes, "Do you want to hit? Do you want to learn how to hit?" And I was
Barry, I'm busy.
No, and he grabbed the bucket of balls and showed me how to hit and locked me in. Maybe the best hitting coach I ever had. But the point is, I don't know if Brian Sabians exist anymore in baseball, where you have this presence from the front office that just comes down from heaven above and says, you're going to be a Giant. And you want to be a Giant. And you're going to be not just a Giant. You're going to help us win. And we're going to win. And we were, I don't know, 10 games over, 12 games over that year?
And I'm looking at your August. You hit 318 in August that year.
There you go.
I mean, it's not about that.
I like to give context to the story.
The moral of this story is I just don't know if there's those kind of baseball people out there anymore. I think the game has evolved more into whatever the computer says about the player, which in my mind, and maybe I'm sounding old right here, is a recipe for making errors. Whether you know what you're doing or you don't know what you're doing, what kind of man is in that uniform? What kind of player is in that uniform? What kind of character is in that uniform? And if I can surround myself with character guys that can play a little bit, they're going to bust their ass for 3 hours every single night. And I have a pitching staff that's going to pitch it. And I have a defense that's going to catch it. And I'm going to have guys that fight. And they want to fight every single night. And I want to fight. And we're going to fight. And we're going to beat you and find a way to beat you. I'll win a hell of a lot of baseball games. And I don't think that formula is that archaic. I think that formula applies to any sport. I think that formula still applies to baseball. If you give me a bunch of guys that are character guys that want to win more than anything, they'll do whatever it takes to win, and they want to fight on a nightly basis, and I got five studs that throw 98, we're going to win. We're going to win way more games than we lose.
Yeah. So I don't know if it exists as you're talking about, but it does seem for sure that the Giants are missing that, and it would be helpful to have that kind of aura, that presence. Once again, all right, we got to take a break. One final segment coming up on this Tuesday on Willard and Dibs. It's FP, Dibs, and Grandy with you in for Mark Willard on Willard and Dibs this week. We're sponsored by Safeway. More Willard and Dibs next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Willard and Dibs. One final segment here on this Tuesday. Trade deadline day. It has come and gone. The Giants make a few moves. Jorge Soler, Luke Jackson to Atlanta. You get back an injured left-handed relief pitcher, Tyler Matzek. We'll see if he does return at some point for the Giants this year. Also, a high A minor league right-handed hitting infielder. You then trade Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians. You get back a 19-year-old left-handed pitching prospect who's also around A ball, high A ball in that area. You do also send away Mike Bauman. You get cash considerations back from the Los Angeles Angels. And the one real acquisition that will impact the Giants team this season, it is you get former A, former Met, former Tiger, most recently Mark Canna. You trade away a double A pitcher to get Mark Canna back here with the San Francisco Giants. And we do have a lineup for today's game. I'll give that to you in just a second. But first, I wanted to let you know that you should be joining 95.7 The Game at Harding Park on Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. Again, that's coming up Friday, September 6th at Harding Park. The lineup, guys, it's FP, Dibs, and Grandy with you. The lineup for the Giants today: Tyler Fitzgerald, Casey Schmidt, Elliot Ramos, then Matt Chapman, Patrick Bailey, and Marco Luciano, who has been recalled from AAA. He is DHing and batting sixth. Mike Yastrzemski, David Villar, and Derek Hill, the nine for the San Francisco Giants today. One of the questions, guys, once Jorge Soler got traded away was who is going to lead off? And for now, at least, that is Tyler Fitzgerald. I imagine FP, as a young guy like Tyler Fitzgerald, obviously being a big leaguer is something you've always dreamed of, and he's been great at it so far lately. 9 home runs on the season. He's hitting .319. A lot of big flies lately. Hitting leadoff, though, especially for a young guy, it's got to be a challenge. This is a new challenge for Tyler Fitzgerald.
Well, they probably told him don't change a thing. It's funny how I just sounded like Forrest Gump right there, by the way. It's don't change a thing. They probably told him that, but like, it's funny how the Giants take all their RBI guys and lead them off.
I know.
Like when Luis Matos was NL Player of the Week, what'd they do? They took him from fifth and let him off.
I heard some Jorge Soler lead off.
Hitting taters left and right, lead him off. Jorge Soler's 7'4", 800 pounds, lead him off. I don't know.
Hey, it'll be the second time he has led off this year.
I like speed at the top. I do like that. I like the threat of a stolen base at the top of the order. And now the pitcher's immediately in the stretch, and now he's thinking about Tyler Fitzgerald, and he hangs one to Elliot Ramos, and it's 2-0. So we'll see. I think he has a little bit too much swing and miss to lead off, but we'll see how this whole thing plays out.
Yeah, he's done well hitting eighth, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's where he's done the majority of the damage. That's where he's been most often this year. So
hit third Sunday.
Yeah. And
right in the heart of the heart. 12-game hitting streak.
Yeah, so if that's the case, and I'm sure it is the case, then you want to have him have as many at-bats as possible because he's your hottest hitter.
I was sitting with my son Sunday, and I went glory days on him, and I said, I hit third for 2 weeks in Montreal, and it's a whole different beast. You get everybody's A stuff.
I mean, you get that if you're leading off, I would imagine, as well, right?
Well, leading off's different because when Barry Bonds is hitting behind you, you get a lot of pitches to hit because they don't want to walk you. Because Barry's on deck. And I hit second a lot for the Giants with Barry hitting behind me. I got some good pitches to hit because they don't want to face Barry with a guy on. But when you're hitting third, you get exploding stuff from everybody. They're just like, all right, you're hitting third. You're the best hitter on the team. When it used to be that the third hole hitter was the best guy on the team. And you get like A-plus stuff from everybody. They gear it up. You're on deck and the guy's throwing 94 and you walk in the box and the first pitch 97. You're like, where the hell did that come from? He's throwing 94. So for Fitz on Sunday to hit third, I thought was huge, but I think he'll adapt to hitting leadoff. It's just I think it's a different mindset, but today it's not. Just everybody swings at the first pitch. Nobody gets into account. They're not trying to work walks. And I think I'm sure Bob Melvin said, hey, look, we're leading you off. Don't change a thing.
They never penciled you in at cleanup in your career.
Never.
Now you batted fourth.
At any level.
You batted fourth. You entered the game and batted fourth, but I'm looking at your game started. You batted fifth one time. You got penciled in the five hole and never at cleanup. And as you mentioned, 19 games career in the three hole. You're Your number one most frequent.
I'm like, you're just facts checker over there.
I'm into it. I'm really
you're an
into
expert
it.
Baseball reference statistician don't, diving through all that.
Don't fib or lie around.
I'm into
Dibley.
It with FP for a number of reasons. One is his memory is insane. And so when he says, yeah, they penciled me in at 3 in Montreal for a couple of weeks, I look and you started at hitting third 19 times. So the majority of that was probably what you're talking about in Montreal. But I'm just fascinated by your career because you had a big league career.
It was. I got lucky. It was fun.
Hey, whatever. It was more than luck. I appreciate the humility.
Nobody's ever parlayed a mediocre career into this kind of broadcasting career in the history of the world.
I'm sure it's happened, but, you know, and there are other Giants broadcasters who, you know, I don't know about mediocre career. It's not for me to judge you. I mean, you made it to the flipping show, for crying out loud.
Pretty impressive.
Very impressive, but I'm just definitely am geeking out on your baseball reference. More to come tomorrow, too. I'm going to find some more nuance.
This is the only way to get me embarrassed. I did hit cleanup for a short time at bars at 2 in the morning.
That's a solid
yes,
five.
Yes.
How many career homers?
Five. 21.
So more than Dwayne Kuiper, who's developed quite the career.
2-1 game. You're not a switch hitter until you hit one from both sides in the same game.
And as we learned yesterday, he touched up two pitchers twice. Bobby Jones, not the golfer. And Mark Gardner, Giants legend. Those are the only two pitchers he got to twice.
They're the same pitcher, too, by the way. I think they both went to Fresno State. They both had like 90-something mile-an-hour fastballs and rolling curveballs.
Right.
Gardy was a competitor. I don't know a lot about Jones because I didn't play with him, but I'll play behind Mark Gardner any day. He fought every fifth day. It's Gardy's day, different dude, go out there and fight. Woody's day, he'd go out there and fight. We had some players that didn't have like exploding 99 mile an hour fastballs, but they knew how to win baseball games. And was it you or somebody said something about the win for the pitchers?
Yeah, Grandy did.
Grandy, I still think that's a good stat, man. I'm never going to get off a wins don't matter for a starting pitcher, because there's something that separated Kurt Reeder from other guys. Every fifth day he went out there and he would tell me, FP, a good outing is if I give up 5 runs and we score 6. If I give up 3 runs and we score 4, I just want to win. And there's something about that intangible quality about a guy that makes me behind him want to play for him. So when you say that wins don't matter, or you said they, you still think they do, I couldn't agree with you more, man. I think wins still matter to pitchers. I don't know if they get paid for them like in the past. I know that the propeller heads upstairs don't really care about wins. But like I still think, find me a guy that wins baseball games and I'll find you a winning player, a championship type player. If you're a starting pitcher in today's game and you don't give a crap about wins, you shouldn't be in the big leagues.
Blake Snell doesn't have a win yet as a Giant.
Probably cares. He cares. He
for sure.
Cares.
For sure he cares.
I mean, nearly had a perfecto through 7 innings and didn't get a win in that game. Last game, struck out 15 over 6 innings.
It's a shame. But
go for the record.
Man. Well, and you talk about like some of the hallowed numbers in baseball, 500 homers, 3,000 hits, and 300 wins. 500 homers, yeah, there's guys who are still going to crest that. 3,000 hits, absolutely. Stay healthy. Like, Jose Altuve is a guy who might end up hitting 3,000 hits. But 300 wins, you can forget that one. Yeah. That's a wrap.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of difference-making bats available at the trade deadline, Jazz Chisholm has just hit his third home run as a Yankee in what, 3 games?
3 games as a Yankee, but his third home run in 2 games. Hit 2 last night.
I was going to say, every time we look up during the show, he's running around the bases, and I love his final little two-step here.
His Euro step when he crosses home plate.
And he fakes right, jab step to the right, and a slide to the left.
That's Willard and I's guy. That's the guy we wanted.
Totally.
Both. We wanted him bad.
And he picked up Aaron Judge's bat last night when a position player was pitching for the Phillies and went yard with it.
Yep, he's probably still using it.
I'm sure that's the heaviest bat that Jazz Chisholm has ever picked up. Aaron Judge's bat, and he hits a home run off a position player.
We got Canada, though.
Wait, is that live? Did he hit 2 tonight? Because I know he already hit 1. Did he hit 2? Was that live?
That was live.
Did he hit his second home run tonight?
He's got 17 now.
Is that 4 in 2 games?
I have no idea.
I'm going to go to my
We got a minute. Let me find this real quick.
My MLB app. First guy to find it wins. Here's the box score.
I'm too busy looking
scroll
at FP as a second baseman.
Chisholm, 2 for 5, home run, 2 tonight. Hit 2 tonight.
So he's got four home runs in the last 2 days. Yeah. That's a difference maker.
That was live just now. I thought that was a highlight. And it put him up 5-4 in the 7th.
3-run big fly for Jazz Chisholm.
He is the hero of the Bronx right now. My goodness.
FP, you hit 364 on the first pitch. It's pretty good.
All right. Dibs just diving even deeper into baseball reference. All right, we can do it more tomorrow. We got more with FP.
364 on the first pitch at 2 a.m. after last call.
There you go.
We got more with FP coming up tomorrow, boys. We'll talk then. For Dibs, for FP, my name is Mark Randy signing off. Thanks so much for tuning in. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Best of the game, an hour of 95.7 The Game's best content from the day, hosted by Lucas Alexander. And coming up first, Farhan Zaidi's 20-minute press conference with the media earlier today, post-trade deadline, where he will explain every move the Giants made or didn't make leading up to this year's trade deadline. That's coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.